I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB here in the Mac Ica Flowood Studios. Today's Monday. Got 2 hours. 2 hours to fill today. I'm behind on my show prep. Busy this weekend. And then a bad accident this morning on I-55 coming in. Pulled about an hour of my show prep time away from me. So we will soldier on. Certainly plenty to talk about. I have got a clip. A clip from Dr. Peter McCullough on these shots. It may be, and if anyone listens to the show, I can get pretty exercised about things. I can get really upset about the direction of many different things, the needless suffering that people go through at the hands of our political class. I can get pretty fired up. I don't know I've ever been as mad as quickly as listening to this two-minute clip I'm going to play from Dr. Peter McCullough when it comes to these shots. What they're doing is, it's a crime against humanity, and it's strange to say that, and it's just true. And to listen to him describe some new studies that have been done on these vaccines makes me really angry, because it may be the fact that those of us who have decided against these shots, it doesn't really matter. We're getting the stuff anyway. And for my children in particular, who I really had to convince, because they're in college towns, colleges went buck wild on COVID stuff and the shots and how you were, you know, these are young kids who were taught, you got to take a shot for other people. So their selfish father comes to them and says, you do not need to be anywhere near this shot. It may not make any difference. They may have gotten a shot anyway without actually getting the needle in their arm. It's some terrifying news. Absolutely terrifying. There should be people at least in jail. And I don't know, I may get more... I may get more strident about it and listening to it again. It's making me angry just thinking about it. Anyway, we'll get into some of that news as well. Quotes of the day today. A guy named Mark Oshinsky? Yeah, I think I got that. Mark Oshinsky wrote, "Once people take sides, most people won't consider logic or facts that contradict what they initially believed. Changing their minds would result in a loss of face. Admitting an error damages most people's self-esteem. They lack the strength of character to admit they were wrong. Perhaps intransience is biochemically driven. Perhaps having made up their minds, people avoid spending any additional mental energy on thinking. Yet as Socrates said, quote, to be uncertain is to be uncomfortable, but to be certain is to be ridiculous." And this is certainly what we suffer from. I don't know. He says perhaps intransience is biochemically driven. There's many of us out here who never have a problem understanding we were wrong about something in a previous thought and changing tacts when the facts change. There's plenty of people who are actually able to do that. They're not a lot. I mean, it's not the majority of people. The majority of people take a position. They go public about it, invest their entire personality in it, and then deny anything to the contrary of what they said. And if you don't believe me, go to the grocery store and look at all the mask wearers. There's a new study about masks we're going to take a look at today, too. But I do like this Socrates quote embedded in the Mark Oshinsky quote, to be uncertain is to be uncomfortable, but to be certain is to be ridiculous. And I think that's very true. Anytime you act like you never make a mistake, that you're never wrong about anything, you look absurd because everybody knows we're always wrong. And this was a quote from a Zero Hedge article. It's Zero Hedge, largely an economics website, does a lot of great news there. And they wrote, the U.S. economy is addicted to cheap money like that money is heroin, and many elements in the system just can't let it go. People thought that the central bankers, our resident drug dealers, would never stop providing the fix. They thought that there was incentive for the Fed to continue dealing that delicious fiat. But the easy money drug has diminishing returns and the addict is acclimated. The negative health effects are starting to set in. The addict is beginning to die, and the dealer wants to distance himself from the corpse. We've talked a lot about that, about monetary heroin here on this show. And that's what endless money printing is. Right now we have a stock market that is not driven by anything in the economy, but is driven only on whether or not they believe that we're going to be able to have access to cheap debt again. How quickly are we going to have cheap debt? How cheap's that debt going to be? It has absolutely nothing to do with how many customers you have, how well you mind your business. It has nothing to do with the health or the prosperity of the American people. That has nothing to do with the economy anymore. It's all about how soon are we going to get back to cheap interest rates so we can start loading up on more debt. And if that punch bowl is taken away, which it's currently being slowly drug away, the stock market does not react kindly to that. We did look at, I knew that reports would come out on the jobs report that we had on Friday. Friday we had a blockbuster jobs report. It was told to us. Now, I dug into it. I knew that it would take a couple of days for smarter people than me, people who can read through line through line through these Bureau of Labor Statistics jobs reports. And turns out there are two surveys that go into the jobless rate, how many people are working. One is the establishment survey, and we know what the establishment is. Establishment at this point is just, it's basically dishonest. It doesn't matter if it's establishment media, establishment politicians, the establishment, it just means pure rank dishonesty. So the establishment report is what comes out, what the Biden White House or any Trump White House, Obama White House, this is the numbers that they hang their hat on. These are government statisticians who manipulate figures to make everything look rosy. The establishment survey is the number you always hear, and this is what Joe Biden took a victory lap on Friday. And then there's the household survey, and this is a more boots-on-the-ground report. They actually contact people, large numbers of people, and say, hey, how's everything going in the household? You got a job? Did you pick up a new job? Did you lose a job? Anybody in your family start working? And they compile this and extrapolated. I believe the household survey, maybe around 10,000 people are actually polled for this thing. But anyway, it's turned out there's some weird discrepancy that we haven't seen before between the establishment survey, which is the government manipulating statistics to tell us how great the economy is doing, tell us how great the labor's market's doing, and the household survey, which just actually looks at people's lives. There is a 2.7 million job gap between the two of these. They're usually relatively close. But we've been told since the beginning of this year, I believe in February is when these things started really diverging. The household survey has been flat on unemployment. The establishment survey has been showing all of these jobs created. And now the establishment survey is showing 2.7 million more jobs created during the course of 2022 than the household survey. This is not normal. And people have looked through this. The establishment survey uses things like the birth-death model, where they just kind of out of thin air decide how many new businesses started and how many new businesses or small businesses went out of business. They just use algorithms and computer programs, and they just plug in the numbers that they want to, like they say, garbage in, garbage out, and they just anticipate how many small businesses are created. You understand that in any of these things, there is no big database where everybody logs in and says, hey, I got a job, my hours got cut, I got more hours, I got a better job. There is no repository of how the economy's going. These are all done through polls, and in the case of the establishment survey, basically largely guesses. They took a look at a few bullet points. They adjust it for things like seasonality and this birth-death model of businesses where they just say, well, we think about 400,000 new small businesses were started in the last month. There's no basis in fact for that. They just create it to give the statistic. Basically, the establishment survey is the same thing as a lot of the inflation numbers or anything else. They come up with a number that they want to report, and then they back engineer it to try to get there. But between the household survey and the establishment survey, there's 2.7 million jobs discrepancy. So we know that the books are cooked. There was also a lot in this recent jobs report showing the trend is continuing, that more and more people are taking on second and third jobs. These are not full-time jobs that have been created, but they are actually part-time jobs replacing full-time jobs. And for many people, the ones out in society that are still working for a living, seem to be an awful lot of people not working. For the people still working for a living, they have taken on two, three jobs. I guess, I had looked at that and thought how sad it was, and then I looked at my own life and go, oh, that's right, I've got three jobs myself. It's more because I kind of enjoy doing some different things. I've never had a real traditional job model for myself my entire adult life. I just find myself doing different things that I enjoy doing. But I am one of those. I've got three of those jobs myself. The Drudge Report on Friday, they had this headline here. It said, more Americans leave workforce as participation rate drops again. And this is a number that most Americans are not familiar with. It's the labor force participation rate. I've pointed to this quite often. When Trump was talking about having the greatest economy in the history of mankind ever, the labor force participation rate was dramatically down from even the year 2000, even during the Trump administration, which just shows there's a whole lot of people were out of work during Trump's term than were even during the end of Clinton, beginning of Bush's term. We're not supposed to look at these actual things. We're just supposed to take the man's word for it. But the labor force participation rate is a very interesting chart. It does show you when America really was prosperous, when things were humming along, and how it has slowly been eroding over several decades now. But what was funny to me on this Drudge Report, again, the headline, more Americans leave workforce as participation rate drops again. The picture that was above this story was the picture of somebody on a beach laying in a hammock. Does anybody get the sense that we are currently living in an economy here in the United States right now where people are just, they're so flush with cash, they're just deciding, I don't need to work anymore. I'm just going to live out the rest of my days in abject luxury and relaxation. That is not the that's not the vibe I get from the economy right now as people suffer through inflation, that we have a savings rate, which is what it was after the great financial crisis, at around 2%. I just found the image going with that picture a little disingenuous. Drudge Report getting worse and worse by the day. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through.
So on Friday night, Matt Taibbi was the reporter used because he's an actual journalist. Matt Taibbi is actually a journalist, so Elon Musk turned to Matt Taibbi to break down exactly the censorship that went on with the complicity of the Democrat Party and apparently elements within the government as well to censor Twitter of everything from the Hunter Biden laptop to anything else that they wanted to drive narratives on using the big tech machine. I have not gotten down into the entire thread of Matt Taibbi stuff. I really wanted to. I swear, I think I started three or four times and I got distracted by something else in the news and ended up going down another vein of information. But I do think it's very interesting. And I think it should be, I always think it's a bit of a teachable moment. You have to understand, I know that in tribal world, in the red versus blue team world out there, people love to cast everybody on the left as a complete nut job. And everybody on the left is convinced to view every Republican or Trump supporter as some kind of a Hitlerian fascist, because that's what your tribal leaders demand of you. Very few people have the courage to stand up against their tribe. They have to play their part because they're scared they'll be ostracized. I'm not sure this was a very valuable trait in human beings back when tribes actually mattered. You know, there were times where survival on planet Earth was probably not real easy. And if your tribe cast you out by yourself, your chances probably weren't real good. You needed the communication, the cooperation of that tribe for general safety. But that's not the case these days. Now it is just a mental trap that most people are in with their tribes. But I bring this up because Matt Taibbi is a left-leaning guy. He's one of the most honest journalists out there. He's done great pieces that have skewered the right and the left. Matt Taibbi is one of those old-time journalists who actually tries to hold the powerful accountable, which is really what was supposed to be the job of the media in the first place. Truth to power. The Fourth Estate. I'll show you what they've become in just a second, but Matt Taibbi is one of those left-wing guys, and I would disagree with him. He wants everybody to have government-paid health care, I believe. Now, I understand the sentiment to see a bunch of people who can't afford health insurance to understand that I think 250,000 people went bankrupt last year because of medical expenses. See the mess in our medical system, and I understand in your heart wanting there to be some kind of a safety net with anybody on the left like that who has a good heart and wants to help people. I think the economics is not in your favor. And if you understand that the government is bought and paid for by the medical establishment, handing them the reins to all health care, probably not a great idea. You're probably not going to get the result you're looking for. But Matt Taibbi, again, he is a left-wing journalist. He is very honest. Glenn Greenwald is another one. Glenn Greenwald is a gay man married to a black man living down in South America. He's always been on the left. Now he's become a darling of the right, not because he has a bunch of conservative views, but because he will simply tell the truth. But before this, the left has turned on him. Jimmy Dore is another one of these. Jimmy Dore, very progressive. I disagree with him on a whole lot of stuff, but he's honest. And I just bring this up because I don't care if it's on the right or the left. The people that are on the right that will call out the Republican Party as well, I find equally refreshing. Those who do not adhere to just their tribal programming, their fear of standing out from the crowd. And these some of these journalists have got more courage than about 99% of all people on both sides because, again, they will challenge their own tribe. Matt Taibbi was on the receiving end of a tremendous amount of hate for even bringing out this very factual information about the censorship going on Twitter by the media. The media that would have been against censorship probably as recently as 5 years ago. Many in the media would have said, oh, censorship is just the worst. We need the ability to go out and tell the truth. We've got a First Amendment right. That was the left 5 years ago. Today, the left is full on authoritarian. Censorship is for our own good. So Taibbi was used to give the scoop on this. And the mainstream journalist went after Matt Taibbi. And what was funny was the Mockingbird media. I don't know how this works. I'd be interested to talk to somebody in journalism. Is there seriously like a website that they all go to in the morning to get their marching orders with all of the little talking points? Because there were screenshots after screenshots of all of these media people attacking Matt Taibbi for breaking this Twitter story. And they all use the same term, PR, meaning public relations, PR for the world's richest man. Now, that's a very specific phrase. That's not something that just comes to every single person spontaneously. And yet, media pundit after media pundit used the term PR for the world's richest man. Somehow they all came up with exactly the same phrase. Which just shows it's really funny because it actually just even their reaction to Matt Taibbi blowing the whistle on censorship and how bad the media has gotten complicit with censorship, just their response to it shows you how bad the media is. It's actually very confirmatory because the media in this country, the establishment media in this country, has absolutely no independent thought or abilities. And this is one of the reasons that they're going out of business, which is truly beautiful to see. This also came out, so I'm going to talk a little bit about Twitter. Elon Musk has removed some of the COVID restrictions, I guess they would be called. The health advice on Twitter, now you may be able to hear from a doctor who's not down with the shots, who's not down with masking, who's not down with lockdowns. You may actually hear from them on Twitter now. Well, the media is very concerned about that. And I want you to listen to this. This is a nice supercut of the Mockingbird media now. Again, they must all go to the same website. I'm not sure if it's a memo that's put out, if there's a central depository, or if all of these mainstream media people, maybe they're chipped. Maybe the thoughts are just sent out directly into their brains somehow so that they're all on the same page. But listen to this in response from your mainstream media. This is another one of these cuts across several different local news broadcasts. Now, I know they pick up the same stories, but it's quite amazing. You know, they all have a limited amount of time. Your local news channels have got 30 minutes, essentially. There's a whole lot going in the world. They have to all decide, supposedly, through some editorial discretion, what are we going to cover today? What's most important to stick into our 30 minutes of news programming that we have for the 5 o'clock show? Well, they all thought this one was just so important.
You'll want to be even more cautious when reading about COVID on Twitter.
Be extra cautious when you're looking for health information in the Twitterverse.
The company drops its COVID misinformation policy.
Twitter has dropped its COVID-19 misinformation policy.
Be cautious while looking for health information in the Twitterverse.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information in the Twitterverse.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information in the Twitterverse.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information in the Twitterverse.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information on the Twitterverse.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information on the Twitterverse.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information in the Twitterverse.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information on Twitter.
Be extra cautious while looking at health information on Twitter.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information on Twitter.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information on Twitter.
Be extra cautious while you're looking for health information on Twitter.
Be extra cautious while looking for health information on Twitter.
Holy cow. Holy cow. This is your media. I don't know how often these people have got a shower, but it's got to be an awful lot. Now, personally, the best health advice we know. We know who was allowed on Twitter when it came to health advice for the past 2.5 years. I think it's 33 months right now. The worst of the worst. The wrongest of the wrongest. The CDC, the Faucis of the world, the Thomas Dobbs, they were all over Twitter. They got their message out. They were wrong at every single turn. The health advice on Twitter right now can only improve.
I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, here in the Mack Hike of Flowood Studios. Going to get into something a little different now. Kind of ran across a vein of stories. So a little bit about our two-tiered justice system and kind of my rebellion against this idea on the right of the law and order. I've made this point many times. I think it's very short-sighted in what is supposed to be the freest country on earth, a country that was set up to be the freest country on earth. We have people on the right who understand the Constitution, seem to be big fans, use the catchphrases of freedom and liberty constantly, but at the same time, really believe that if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Ignoring the fact that we live under a regime of just endless, endless, endless laws, regulations. And this is a problem. We have the most incarcerated planet on incarcerated country on planet Earth, save the Chinese. We suspect that they may be fudging their numbers a little bit, or maybe they just kill their people. More on that in just a little bit as well. But I ran across a couple of stories, and the first thing that I ran across was Sam Bankman-Fried, the guy from SBF, named SBF with the FTX scandal. He appears to still be out there doing interviews. George Stephanopoulos, this guy is such a criminal, even George Stephanopoulos from ABC was able to ask some pretty pointed questions of the guy. George Stephanopoulos, one of the worst so-called journalists out there. He's on ABC News. He used to be, chief of staff for Bill Clinton? He's absolutely horrific. But even he, Sam Bankman-Fried, is such a criminal that George Stephanopoulos came across. I haven't watched the whole series yet, but I heard some clips on it. But I ran across this. Sam Bankman-Fried, free as a bird right now. He's out doing interviews. Now, I believe he said he's down to his last $100,000. A few weeks ago, he was worth, what, $14 billion, $32 billion, something along those lines. But I ran across this. This is your mainstream media. Do you wonder how so many people got suckered by this guy? This FTX operation was only 2 years old. And it had tens of billions of dollars in it, and millions of investors have probably lost all of their money. Millions and millions of people within 2 years flocked to this organization to lose their money in this giant money laundering Ponzi scheme at FTX. Do you wonder how that happened? Here's your mainstream media, particularly your financial press, talking about Sam Bankman-Fried over the last 2 years.
Sam Bankman-Fried is really becoming the industry's lifeline during a crisis lately. I'm fascinated, endlessly fascinated with Sam Bankman-Fried's role in all of this.
You've been now described as the JP Morgan, if you will, of the crypto business.
A lot of people called you the savior of crypto, the patron saint of crypto, the Michael Jordan of crypto, if you will.
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Sam Bankman-Fried, the
Sam
JP Morgan of
Fried, SBF.
There he is, Jim Cramer, calling him the JP Morgan of crypto.
PM. Do you know SBF? I think it's cool that the guy has just initials, SBF.
Some on Twitter calling him the hero right now of the industry. There's comparisons to Warren Buffett back in the financial crisis. Or if you go way back, JP Morgan in the panic of 1907, bailing out the banks before the Fed was even created.
Sam Bankman-Fried is trying to play the role of J.P. Morgan, the original J.P. Morgan.
One key figure we've talked about has emerged to help stabilize the ecosystem. That is Sam Bankman-Fried.
We talk about him a lot. Yeah. Sam Bankman-Fried.
Fried. Is he the Jay Gould of our era, or is he the J.P. Morgan of our era?
I think it's yet to be determined. Yet to be determined.
Is he Vanderbilt?
He could be.
He's Charles Ponzi, is who he turned out to be.
Is he Harriman?
Possibly.
Is he the credit mobiliar scandal?
See Carnegie?
The aforementioned 29-year-old gazillionaire, FTX founder and CEO Sam Bankman-Fried. I love you, Sam. I'm just jealous. nothing against you.
The CEO, though, lives a relatively understated life for a billionaire. He drives a Toyota Corolla to FTX's offices in the Bahamas. He lives with 10 roommates and a golden doodle named Gopher. Sometimes sleeps under his desk on a beanbag chair as well.
You aim toward a more sophisticated level of investor than some of the other platforms do. Fair point?
Well, Sam, thanks so much. It's such a fascinating conversation. That's Sam Bankman-Fried of FTX.
Sam, don't be a stranger. We love you here on CNBC. Come around. Talk to us more often about your thoughts. A lot of other things to talk about.
We love checking in with you too, Sam. Such a good spokesperson for the industry, and we look forward to seeing what you guys are up to in the coming months.
So, does anybody wonder why millions of people trusted FTX, did no due diligence on it whatsoever? That was basically across the financial spectrum, the financial media, most largely CNBC, who has been blowing sunshine up the skirt of SBF for 2 years and suckering in all these people. I don't know if there can be class action lawsuits against a network like that, but there you go. If you wonder how he attracted so many assets so quickly, there's your evidence. That's how it happened. But this guy is still free as a bird as of right now. Nothing's happened to him. I saw a story, haven't dug into it yet, that his girlfriend may be about to blow the whistle on him. This is this girl who was running Alameda that I played the clips from, where she didn't know what she was doing, and loved to take lots of risk. So she may be turning on him. She's free as a bird right now as well. The COVID cult leaders who are responsible for the deaths of millions are currently living the dream. Anthony Fauci is about to parachute out into a huge government pension paid for by the U.S. taxpayers. His entire life has been paid by the U.S. taxpayers, plus all the bennies he gets from a big pharma. But he's living fine. And the warmongers who have been responsible for the death, dismemberment, and dislocation of tens of millions of people just in modern history over the past 30, 40 years, these people are driving around to cocktail parties tonight. But some people just deserve to go to jail. Here's your law and order in the United States. This is a story out of Alabama. An 82-year-old woman in Alabama was arrested for failing to pay her trash bill, police said. Martha Lewis Minifield. That sounds like the name of an 82-year-old, doesn't it? Martha Lewis Minifield, a longtime resident of Valley, Alabama, was arrested on Sunday after she failed to make payments for her trash service for the months of June, July, and August, according to a statement by Valley Police Chief Mike Reynolds. Code enforcement attempted to contact Minifield several times and issued a citation in August that advised her to appear in court on September 7th, police said. A warrant for Minifield's arrest was subsequently issued after she failed to appear in court. Minifield, however, told local news outlet CBS 42 that she was surprised when police came to her home Sunday to arrest her. The senior, again, she's 82 years old, told the outlet that she had never received any notice to appear in court and that she thought the $77.80 bill had already been paid because her trash pickup was never suspended. Quote, I was upset because I didn't know why they would come and arrest me. This is what she told the outlet. She asked the officer, quote, how would you feel if they came and arrested your grandma after he placed the handcuffs on her and told her not to cry? Quote, I'm just happy my grandchildren weren't here to see that. That would have upset them. I was so ashamed and it's been bothering me. Now, here it comes to the law and order portion of the program here. In the press release, Police Chief Reynolds defended the arrest by saying Minifield was treated with respect. Quote, while our officers used their discretionary judgment on certain matters, the enforcement of an arrest warrant issued by the court and signed by a magistrate is not one of them. Miss Minifield was treated respectfully by our officers in the performance of their duties and were released on a bond as prescribed by the violation. Minifield was released on bond after spending a short amount of time being processed at Valley Police Department, according to the police statement. She says, I was in a little cage-like thing at the police station. Y'all put me in this cage, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And she's exactly right. But see, she violated a rule. And the police have got some discretion, but not enough to not go and handcuff an 82-year-old woman and arrest her for failing to pay a trash bill. Now, this is just one of a couple of stories that I ran across. Here's another one. A 77-year-old grandmother and retired civil servant in Colorado claims she was at home alone in January when a Denver Police Department SWAT team showed up in an armored vehicle with at least eight officers wearing full body armor and carrying automatic weapons who tore her home apart in search of a missing iPhone. Police found no stolen phone or any indication of criminal activity. Now Johnson, the woman, the senior citizen, the 77-year-old woman who was hauled out of her home at gunpoint by a SWAT team in an armored vehicle searching for an iPhone, she's suing Gary Staub, the lead detective in the case, claiming he used a, quote, hastily prepared, bare-bones, misleading affidavit to obtain a warrant and perform an illegal search of Johnson's home that left her traumatized. The lawsuit, filed on December 1st, Denver County District Court by attorneys, said the police were looking into a truck that had been stolen by nearby Hyatt. The truck allegedly contained four semi-automatic handguns, a tactical military-style rifle, revolver, two drones, $4,000 in cash, and an old iPhone 11. When Staub spoke to the owner of the stolen vehicle, the man said he'd used the Find My app to track his phone, which is pinged at Johnson's address at approximately 11:30, the day it was stolen. However, the screenshot from the Find My app actually indicated that the phone pinged somewhere in the vicinity of Johnson's home and did not give a precise location. But they signaled that this thing was in this property anyway, and so they SWAT teamed the 77-year-old woman. Again, I juxtapose this to SBF being out. Nothing happened in him. He's responsible. What are we at, about $33 billion swindle of people? We've got the COVID criminals that are just walking amongst us, the people who start wars for no reason based on lies, people who overthrow governments and displace and kill people around the world. They're living a life of luxury. And there's this one. Arizona town to pay $8 million to widow of Daniel Shaver, shot while crawling unarmed towards police. Arizona Republic reports that the town of Mesa, Arizona, reached an $8 million settlement last week with the widow of Daniel Shaver. And I don't know if you've ever seen this video. It is absolutely horrific and sad. Shaver is the unarmed man who was fatally shot while crawling down a hallway on his hands and knees towards police officers, begging them not to shoot him. In January 2016, Mesa police responded to a report of a man pointing a rifle out of a hotel window. It was, in fact, Shaver showing a pellet gun that he used at his exterminator job to a couple of other hotel guests in his room. Police ordered Shaver out of the hotel room and onto the ground with his hands behind his head. But instead of handcuffing Shaver, officers bizarrely started barking confusing and contradictory orders at him to crawl towards them. As a clearly terrified and drunk Shaver tried to crawl towards the police, he appeared to reach towards his waistband to pull up his sagging shorts. A Mesa officer, Philip Mitchell Brailsford, shot Shaver five times with an AR-15, killing him. Incident was part of a string of deadly police shootings of unarmed men caught on camera, including the killings of Philandro Castile and Michael Slager. Shaver's death brought national media attention and bipartisan outrage to Mesa. As David French wrote in National Review, quote, I've seen soldiers deal with Al-Qaeda terrorists with more professionalism and poise. So taxpayers are paying $8 million in Mesa, Arizona, because these police officers demanded a guy crawl down a hotel hallway towards them on his hands and knees. And when he reached back to pull his shorts up that were sagging down because it was being drugged by the carpet, they shot and killed him. And the thing that is, the reason that I bring these things up on Right Wing Radio is because I think that people are going to be very, very shocked with what's coming down the pike. We saw it with COVID. When they set up these COVID policies, these laws, these rules, these regulations, who went out to enforce these things? Local police departments. Now, I'm on the record saying it, and I'll say it again so that people don't get too mad at me. The police do heroic work each and every day. But the blanket support of the idea that law and order means that any law, anything that comes down the pike, the police are certainly justified in doing anything, just following orders. They're just doing their job. These cops that went and arrested and handcuffed an 82-year-old woman, they should have reached into their own pockets at that point and said, oh my gosh, this poor woman, she's an old black lady somewhere in rural Alabama, didn't pay a $77 bill. I would have reached in my pocket and paid the bill for her before I would have ever handcuffed a woman for such a transgression as not paying a trash bill. This was a tweet that was out also. I didn't get the guy's name here. He said, I lost my business because I fed an unvaccinated man a pizza. That's it. That's literally it. What pisses me off more is that none of my friends in the restaurant business said or did anything to help me. You watched a brother burn in the street because I fed a man a pizza. This was during the COVID stuff. There were rules set, Mike. Laws. Regulations. If we're going to have law and order, we need to enforce all of the laws equally. This man's life was destroyed because he dared to serve an unvaccinated man a pizza. And this is the two-tier justice system. And when the blank hits the blank, people are going to, I think conservatives, it's going to be one of the sadder things to see when conservatives realize, oh my gosh, the enforcement of these rules that we have allowed to take place, because they didn't bother us. We obey all the laws. There's just unfortunate victims of all of these things constantly. These are not isolated stories either. I could spend every single day doing, you know, abuses of the law on every single show that I do here. But I think conservatives are going to come when it happens. A lot of people looking at this totalitarian control, this great reset type stuff. You're not going to be able to have a gas car. That's going to be a rule sometime. Are you going to obey that rule? Are you going to turn in your gas car? Are you going to turn in all of your cash for the new central bank digital currency? Because trust me, if you don't, they will send out these same agents of law enforcement, and they will do their job. Some good law enforcement will quit out of disgust, but many will not, because they may be one of the few among us that still have a job. You look at what's going on in China, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. These are people working for the state enforcing some of the most draconian, just disgusting laws and regulations on the Chinese people, and you just wonder what goes into their heart. I'm telling you, the state will use these agents to abuse the people, and they've been doing it here for a long time as well. Cops do a lot of heroic work. They also carry out a lot of very unjust orders. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB here in the Mac Hike of Flowood Studios. Not a whole lot of talk these days about COVID stuff. I think the vast majority of people, well, I don't know how vast it is, but the majority of people, I think, have pretty well moved on. I think I know people who have not, who are still masked up. But the hysteria has subsided, and I think this is kind of one of those times where we start to get distracted by other things. We tend to move on, and I don't believe we should. I think that the thing that we need to expect is that this is going to come back, be it a variant, another disease altogether, another pandemic. And I just don't think we can let this one lie and forget about it and let it just sunset itself as, oh, I remember those couple of years back in 2020, 2021. Because there are still people who need to be held accountable for this stuff. Right now, you'd have to see this video. It's quite remarkable. This is in China right now. I don't know what part of China, but they are getting basically a whiteout snowstorm in China. And they have got people waiting in lines that are blocks long out in this whiteout snow. They're waiting in lines to get a COVID test so that they can turn their QR codes green so that they can move about society, buy things, work. And you can just tell it, this is everybody. This is young and old. They're standing out in the snow in long lines waiting to go into a tent to have, I guess, a Q-tip shoved up their nose to prove that they are not sick. But the weather that they are standing out in, it's unbelievable to see that. And we've got to understand that they can come back if they're allowed to get away with what they've gotten away with so far. With nobody paying a price, they're not even ashamed of the fact they got everything wrong. And I would say the vast number of, I guess what we kind of refer to here at the station of normies out there, are willing to just say, well, you know, maybe we just didn't know what we're dealing with. And they believe that this was some kind of an accident. Oh, yeah, maybe they got some things wrong. But it was always with the best of intentions to try to save people. No, they have lied to us, and they have destroyed a lot of lives. Millions and millions of lives have been destroyed around this stuff, and I don't believe that they are done with us yet. And the only way that they don't come back around is if they're ultimately held accountable for what has gone on before. Los Angeles County, right now, this was of the 18th of November, just a couple of weeks ago. Has put out a bulletin. When you need to wear a mask, you must, all caps, wear a mask in healthcare settings, in congregate care facilities such as long-term care settings and adult senior care facilities, in any location where it is the policy of the business or venue. If you have COVID-19, you must wear a highly protective mask even at home. When you are around others until you end isolation. If you're eligible to end isolation after 5 days because you have a negative test result, it is strongly recommended you continue to wear a mask through day 10. In workplace settings, you must wear a mask through day 10. If you are in close contact to someone with COVID-19, you must wear a highly protective mask when you're around other individuals for 10 days after your last day of exposure. And if there has been a recent outbreak at your workplace or the congregate setting where you live, you are forced. These are the you must wear a mask. Then they go into it is strongly recommended that you wear a mask. All forms of public transportation and transportation hubs and state and local correctional facilities, homeless and emergency shelters, in all other indoor public settings, businesses, government offices, childcare, K through 12 schools, and higher education settings, they are still recommending a mask in Los Angeles County. And this also flies in the face of this woman had put out a tweet. Just listen to this. As I say, most of us have moved on, but you have to understand this is still going on. A woman named Jenin Yunes, she said, I'm watching A Christmas Carol at the Ford Theater in D.C., and one-third of the cast is wearing N95s on stage. She says, I really just cannot. I hope she got out and walked out. So they are putting on a production of A Christmas Carol at the Ford Theater, and a third of the staff is still wearing masks during the production. Now, that is in light of the fact that these things do not work, and they continue to test these things, and they have even done even more tests. Let's get to this one here. Let me get down to this study. What they've settled at is even though they told you a neck gaiter, wrong, and then they told you the little paper mask, wrong, and they told you the surgical mask, wrong, none of them worked. And what they tried to settle in on was, well, if everybody has a high-quality mask, like a properly fitting N95. And this was a story that came out from the Brownstone Institute, where they started talking about they're still testing these things. Fauci specifically said that cloth coverings work, not just surgical or N95s. Former Surgeon General Jerome Adams famously suggested that rolling up a T-shirt in front of your face would be effective protection. Yet public health departments and the media are now highlighting the importance of high-quality, well-fitted masks. And so there's new research on this. The Annals of Internal Medicine just published a randomized controlled trial comparing the ability of medical masks to prevent COVID infection to fitted-tested N95s. And this was done with healthcare workers who would be the most likely to use masks appropriately. We know the people in public never wear their mask properly in the first place. So this is probably your most controlled environment of professionals who know how to wear a mask, how to dispose of a mask, and they still found absolutely no benefit to wearing these masks. They examined 29 different healthcare facilities on multiple continents from North America to Asia and Africa. Percentage of healthcare workers testing positive for COVID in each group was tracked to determine how effective or ineffective higher quality masking was in preventing infection. Unsurprisingly, the results confirm that there is essentially zero difference between surgical or N95 respirators when it comes to test results. And they went through these things. This gets real science-y with a lot of percentages that does not translate well to radio. 52 of 497 participants who wore medical masks got COVID-19, and 47 of 507 in the N95 group got COVID-19. No matter how, quote, high quality, unquote, your mask is, it's entirely irrelevant. Researchers also took pains to ensure that the control and treatment groups shared as many similarities as possible. Healthcare workers randomly assigned to the N95 respirator group were instructed to use a fit-tested National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health approved N95 respirator when providing routine care to patients with COVID-19 or suspected COVID-19. It didn't matter. Even more importantly, these disappointing results were from facilities with universal masking policies in place. Everyone in each healthcare facility for all activities was required to wear masks. The intervention included universal masking, which was the policy implemented at each site. This refers to the use of a mask when the healthcare facility for all activities, whether patient-related or not, including in workrooms, meetings, and treating persons that were not suspected of or known to be positive for COVID, it still didn't work. They even tracked potential exposure points, whether at home, in the community, or the hospital exposures. There was still no difference. They have tested these things up one side and down the other and come to the conclusion masking does not work for a respiratory illness, not even the N95. For all of you duck people out there that are still walking around in these things, please free yourself. The studies are in one more time. But it gets worse. When I come back, I'm going to play this clip from Dr. Peter McCullough. They are doing studies on these shots. You know, it's a big experiment. So within the first few years of an experiment the size of the COVID shots, you expect them to do a whole lot of studies. Well, he's going to tell you about some of the results of these things. And this is, you know, I guess there's the serenity prayer. You know, God, give me the courage to accept the things that I can't change and the courage to change the things that I can. This kind of falls in one of those things where it's almost so bad and you were so helpless in this, what Dr. McCullough covers, that I almost wish I didn't know it. Number one, it makes me extremely angry. It makes me vengeful. But this is the kind of thing that we do need to know about these shots. And the people who rolled these things out on our society are guilty of horrific crimes. I read you last story, the story of a 82-year-old woman who was arrested and handcuffed because she didn't pay a $77 trash collection bill. Handcuffed. Booked. Yet these people... Just wait till you hear this clip. For those of us out there who consider ourselves purebloods, who decided to opt out of this huge experiment, you may still not be safe. If you are living with somebody who has decided to become one of these guinea pigs, they may have gotten you anyway. And I can't even really describe. You'll hear me probably searching for the words to figure out exactly what this means to all of us. This is such a crime that it's almost hard to report on, and it's very difficult when so many people won't recognize it as such. That's even the more difficult part for me, is the fact that the people who have bought into this, even with everything that we know now, it doesn't work. The vast majority of people who are dying and being hospitalized now are the vaccinated, not the unvaccinated, the vaccinated. And yet so many people, including our own medical establishment, I'm at Kroger the other day. They're constantly running in Kroger a Pfizer-BioNTech advertisement telling you to get over there to the pharmacy to get your latest shot. You can't go grocery shopping without the propaganda, the big pharma propaganda piping out through the loudspeakers in the stores. They are still doing this. This is an ongoing experiment that is yielding horrific results. Wait till you hear what Peter McCullough is saying about the newest studies around these COVID shots. We'll be right back.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
There are two different worlds out there, people, when it comes to these COVID shots. There's a huge world of people out there who think that, well, maybe they didn't work as well as they thought, but at least they were safe. They don't do any exploration. They don't hear from alternative voices. I don't know if putting some of these doctors who have been calling out the danger signals from these shots hitting Twitter will wake people up, or if people just refuse to see it, to hear it. I think a lot of people will. A lot of people cannot accept the fact that they may have been tricked into something that was really could be a disaster for people. I watched this weekend, finally, this Died Suddenly documentary. It's horrible. I have asked a medical professional that I know if they would watch it and tell me what they think. Now, I don't know if they will. They may not want to watch this. It's like a self-defense mechanism. And the clip that I'm going to play you from Dr. Peter McCullough, I don't know if it's wise to play it or not, because it may be one of these things that just causes unnecessary stress. The only reason I'm going to play it is because there's still actionable steps you can take. If some people around you are still accepting these shots into their lives, these boosters, that's not many people, but there still are. There are spouses out there who are just going off and getting the shots. It doesn't matter what the other spouse says. They think you're insane. They believe that NBC News would have told them if there was any problem with these shots. They believe Dr. Jha at the White House must know what he's talking about, because he got this great post. Who are you, the spouse? Who are you, my cousin? Who are you, my friend? You've got no medical training. How would you know anything? CNN would tell me if there was a problem. But I'm looking at open VAERS, and this is the CDC's own reporting system. And it is said to be somewhere between only 1 to 10% of the actual adverse reactions to any of the shots. The system's been up before the COVID shot. Right now, it's showing 15,508 deaths here in the United States. If that's 10%, then that's 150,000 deaths from this shot. If it's 1%, it's 1.5 million. Now, I can't say that that's the case. It seems like maybe the vigilance was a little bit up on this one. So maybe the reporting is better when it came to these shots, just because they were so in the news. So we really have no idea what it is, but the CDC itself has recognized 15,508 deaths. In 1976, I believe it was, when they had the swine flu outbreak, and they rolled out a shot when 50 people died. I believe it was 53 people died. They stopped the entire program. 53 people back in 1976. This was before, strangely enough, before the pharmaceutical companies got complete liability protection. Now that they've got complete liability protection, 15,000, they don't care. That's 15,508 non-plaintiffs. On top of that, another 15,505 permanently disabled. Those aren't plaintiffs. They can't sue. Thousands of miscarriages, heart attacks, pericarditis, myocarditis. These safety signals have been flashing red since within a month of these shots being launched. And there is this whole body of people out there that are walking amongst us that are just thinking, oh, that can't be right. They will refuse to accept it. But a lot of us took a lot of heat from friends and relatives, got disinvited from things, were called bad names for not getting these shots. The way that we make our way through the world is thinking, right, but we don't, we're 100% immune to the side effects of these shots as well. Maybe that's not the case. This is Dr. Peter McCullough, and as I say, this made me really mad. Really, really mad. They have absolutely no idea what this shot is doing out in the wild. Listen to some of the new research around these shots.
What are the risks to the unvaccinated?
You know, there was a recent paper. I just have it on my Substack. If you want to review it, if you go to the Courageous Discourse Substack, and the first author is Helene Benoon, a former INSERM scientist. INSERM is a leading research unit in France. And Benoon has summarized this. This is disturbing. It looks like the messenger RNA is transferring from the vaccinated to the unvaccinated now. Mm-hmm. And in a paper by Fertig and colleagues, the messenger RNA is found circulating in blood for at least 2 weeks, and the curves were not going down. That's as long as they looked. Rolkin and colleagues has found messenger RNA in the vaccinated in lymph nodes for months. It looks like the body's not clearing it out. And then a recent paper, this is most disturbing, from Hannah and colleagues, JAMA, showed that the messenger RNA is in the breast milk of women ill-advised who took the vaccine during pregnancy or afterwards. So it's now clear. I think the messenger RNA, that's the greatest concern, was could you actually take a vaccine inadvertently by close contact, kissing, sexual contact, breastfeeding? And it looks like the answer is yes. Now the question on the table is, how long do you wait for contact? No one knows. The vaccines, the messenger RNA vaccines for short, they've never been demonstrated to actually leave the body. They look like they're permanent, as well as the spike protein that's produced after them. This is very disturbing. So it's hard to guide. I was saying, you know, 30 days, refrain from kissing and sexual contact with a vaccinated person. But I'm now extending that to at least 90 days and conservatively maybe extend it from a point forward. I know there's married couples and all kinds of personal implications there. But no, this messenger RNA looks like it's for keep. Every shot is accumulating in the body with no ability for the body to get rid of it.
To remove it.
The vaccines, because they stay in the body so long, it looks like they do permanently install into the human genome. Mm-hmm. Through what's called reverse transcription. So this is disturbing that not only does the vaccines not get out of the body, but now they're changing the human genome. This is shown in a human hepatoma cell line. And so it's conceivable that two vaccines.
What do you say to that? I mean, I almost, well, I didn't get angry at my buddy who sent me this clip. It's just news I didn't want to hear. You know, at the very least, right now, I believe the statistic I saw most recently was about 67% of Americans have gotten at least one of these shots. That's a lot of people. But for the 33% of us out there who did not get the shots, we thought we were at least safe from having this stuff in our system, that we were not going to be part of the experiment. But apparently, if you're in close contact, if you're in a romantic relationship with somebody else who has had this shot, you may be in the experiment now yourself. Now, I don't know exactly what this means. Obviously, Peter McCullough doesn't know either. But to think that this is not talked about, and I'm going to play this clip again when I come back, because I want everybody to understand the people doing these studies, these are not people in their van down by the river. These are not crazed conspiracy theorist people. These are around the world, not anybody at the CDC, not anybody at the FDA, not anybody at the major universities for the most part around the country, who are beholden upon big pharma grants to do their studies and to fund their departments, their research departments. But around the world, these people, very well-credentialed people, are doing studies on these things to try to find out all of these things that we didn't know, because these things were not tested for a long period of time. We don't know what we don't know. These are legitimate studies coming out, and I have sent this along to a medical professional, too. I'll be interested to hear their take on this. It may be just outright dismissal. Well, that can't be true, because they are refusing to hear anything contrary to the safe and effective narrative. It just is said so many times that it just becomes this apparent fact to large swath, I would imagine probably 80% of the population. Now, I know a lot of people who took these shots, and they all seem fine. My hope is that maybe there were just some bad batches that hurt all of these people. Or there is some genetic marker. So for some people, this shot is not good, but for other people, maybe it ends up being inert. I'm not one of these people that says everybody who took the shots can be dead in 3 years. We have no earthly idea if that's true. And we're now almost 2 years into it, and I know a lot of people who had a lot of shots and many who are still getting boosters that are still doing fine. Fewer. These boosters are not doing some people any favors. These things are basically Russian roulette. You might have made it through the first two without any problems. It might be the booster that gets you. There's plenty of people who are having the boosters, and that's when they have their first problems. But I hope that it was just a bad batch or something. So maybe those of us who have maybe been exposed through contact with a loved one, maybe we were exposed to somebody who was not part of the bad batch. But when I come back, I'm going to play this clip again. How unbelievable is this? That people who even made the conscious choice against pressure from their work, from their friends, from their family, held their ground, lost their job because they did not want to submit to this experiment, to think that you may have inadvertently ended up contracting this vaccine from other people who took it. They didn't tell us about that, did they? It's because they didn't know. Or maybe they did know. Well, now they can't hide it any longer because people are starting to do this research. This is one of the most egregious things I've ever heard. So you can tell I'm searching for words for it. And the thoughts that I have for what should happen to the people that have driven this thing, forced people to get it, forced school-age children. There were kids out there on football teams. You could not play high school football if you didn't get this shot. And they had no earthly idea what it would do. And now they can't figure out if you can even ever get it out of your body, ever. They keep studying it for 2 weeks. Then they stop studying it. They go, well, it's still there after 2 weeks. Well, what about 4 weeks? Well, we hadn't studied that yet. We may get around to it. Now they're finding it in the lymph nodes months later. How many months? They don't know. They're not really keeping track of it. They just did a few studies and found that people who'd had it 3 months ago, 4 months ago, it's still in their lymph nodes. They have no earthly idea where this thing is ricocheting through society and what the long-term effects are going to be. You know, I played this clip from Anthony Fauci. It's in the Real Anthony Fauci documentary, where Anthony Fauci sat there and said about a previous vaccine in an old interview. That's why I love the internet. Theoretically, you could hold people accountable for things they've said before. But he was talking about, I think maybe it was an AIDS vaccine, and they said, well, we tested this vaccine for 50 people, and a year later they were doing fine. So then we tested it on 500 people, and a year later those 500 people were doing fine. And the interviewer asked him essentially, well, why wouldn't you give it to everybody then if these people have shown that they're fine a year later? And he said, because in 10 or 12 years it could go, quote, haywire, unquote. And what would we have done then? He said this about a vaccine in the past. What would we do if in 10 or 12 years, we're only 2.5 years into this program, we've got another 10, 12 years to sit on our hands and just wait and see if this thing doesn't go haywire? And they are still pushing this thing. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know, when you got 2 hours a day to fill 5 days a week for 6 years, you get into some repetitive stuff. I'm sick of COVID. I'm sick of talking about the shots, the mandates, these kinds of things. But it's just we cannot forget these things. We can't leave the infrastructure in place to do this again, and they need to stop it. They're talking about the GOP, as they take over the House, is going to strip away the vaccine mandate for the U.S. military. This is good. It never should have been in place in the first place. Tommy Lahren just talked about it on her little hot take clip. But why is the GOP not calling for an immediate halt to the entire program? This thing offers nothing. It's not conferring any protection on anybody. You can still get COVID, be hospitalized with COVID, and die of COVID if you have these shots. They're ineffective. They are quite obviously every safety signal out there, every even marginal little reporting system they've got out there has been flashing red since January of 2021. So the GOP, this is almost just perfectly illustrative of politics in the United States. The Republicans, just not as bad as the Democrats. The Democrats will force this on you with glee. And so the Republicans come to the rescue in terms of, well, we don't want it mandated. But why in the hell are they not calling for this thing to be stopped in its entirety? It's not hard. There's a precedent for it, as I just mentioned, with the swine flu vaccine of 1976, I believe, when 53 people died, they abandoned the entire project. They had inoculated, I believe, 20 million people, and 53 people died. And they stopped the whole program. But the GOP is not calling for that. They're giving you the soft language of, we don't think it should be mandated, but it's still a good idea to have this shot. It does offer you some protection, whatever they need to say to serve their big pharma masters the same way the Democrats do. The Democrats have just gone full on authoritarian. And so the Republicans impress me a very slight amount by the idea that they're trying to undo this vaccine mandate. It should certainly be done. It's just the first step, not the last. How many Americans have been harmed by these things? How many Americans have had their lives stripped from them because these things are even on the market? How many of our toddlers right now have got parents that have become so terrified by the programming of mainstream media and the medical establishment? Never forget, the medical establishment is on this train. They have sold their souls to Big Pharma long ago, but when it came to this shot, that should be a bridge too far for everybody. If you have got a pediatrician that is encouraging you to submit your children to this experiment, you should run from that healthcare professional. Never to darken their door again. They are not thinking for themselves. They are regurgitators of propaganda. They're not somebody who is well thought out in their reasoning on how they treat the health of your child. I would say ditto for any medical practitioner for anybody of any age, but particularly when it comes to our children. Maybe you should ask them about Fauci being worried years ago about inoculating a bunch of people without long-term safety testings in case something should go, quote, haywire, unquote, in 10 to 12 years. Why is the medical establishment, why is your pediatrician not worried about that? Because they've been told not to worry about it. I'm going to play this clip again from Dr. McCullough. And the reason is that as people still go out there and get more of these boosters, you're going to be around these people. Do you need to cut off any intimate physical activity with your spouse or your loved one for a period of now? Dr. McCullough is advising 90 days, and he doesn't even know if that's enough. Because they are finding that people are being exposed to this mRNA through intimate contact with people who have been vaccinated. We've got some parents in England, I believe it is. We've got a small child that needs to go through some kind of a cancer. I believe it's a cancer procedure. But they are demanding that their child receive a blood transfusion during this surgery from an unvaccinated person. The medical establishment in England says, no, we're not doing that. They are threatening to take this child away from the parents so that this child can have the procedure and just give them some vaccinated blood. See, we cannot leave this infrastructure in place for the next time. Thomas Dobbs does not get to just parachute out into his position over at UMC, where another cutout comes into the health department ready for the next pandemic and the next experimental shot. This will not be the last one. They have set this mRNA platform up as the new standard for new vaccines. And now they have set the precedent where, well, if we're using the same platform, and they will say these words, and we know it's safe, so we don't have to do long-term safety testing on any vaccines at all going forward. We've already done the proof of concept. You watch. They're already talking about an mRNA RSV vaccine. And so anytime there is an outbreak, anything that they call a public health emergency, they're just going to roll out another one of these shots. This is going, and if this one, if this first mRNA is being transcribed onto people who did not take the shot, that means every single one of these that come after this one will do the same thing. They've made no changes to this. They're not admitting that this is the case. It's just that researchers are finding it. I got to take a break, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to play this McCullough clip one more time. So you can listen to the people who are studying this stuff and understand your friends still don't want to hear it. Your relatives who took the shot, they don't want to hear this stuff. But for those of you out there who are trying to remain purebloods, this is, I think, kind of important. I'm sure as hell going to pay attention to it. I do not have a romantic partner who has accepted the vaccine into their lives, but I guess this needs to be part of the interview process going forward, doesn't it? All right, final segment for the day, and I'm going to play this Peter McCullough clip again about this new research about these shots and the fact that maybe the shots themselves are communicable. How about that? They didn't tell us about that. Well, we've heard before about exosomes. I've heard stories, personal stories, from direct contacts who said that their wives have had disruptions to their menstrual cycles when they've been around somebody recently inoculated. So we kind of knew these things could affect those around us. But is this actually now in, and the people who have just been around, people who have gotten these shots, now you are with this mRNA and there is no getting it out of your system, according to Dr. Peter McCullough. At least they have no clear guideline on when this stuff comes out of your system. Again, this is Dr. Peter McCullough talking about new research around these shots.
What are the risks to the unvaccinated?
You know, there was a recent paper. I just have it on my Substack. If you want to review it, if you go to the Courageous Discourse Substack, and the first author is Helene Benoon, a former INSERM scientist. INSERM is a leading research unit in France. And Benoon has summarized this. This is disturbing. It looks like the messenger RNA is transferring from the vaccinated to the unvaccinated now. Mm-hmm. And in a paper by Fertig and colleagues, the messenger RNA is found circulating in blood for at least 2 weeks, and the curves were not going down. That's as long as they look. Rolkin and colleagues has found messenger RNA in the vaccinated in lymph nodes for months. It looks like the body's not clearing it out. And then a recent paper, this is the most disturbing, from Hannah and colleagues, JAMA, showed that the messenger RNA is in the breast milk of yes. women ill-advised who took the vaccine during pregnancy or afterwards. So it's now clear, I think, the messenger RNA, that's the greatest concern, was could you actually take a vaccine inadvertently by close contact, kissing, sexual contact, breastfeeding? And it looks like the answer is yes. Now the question on the table is, how long do you wait for contact? No one knows. The vaccines, the messenger RNA vaccines for short, they've never been demonstrated to actually leave the body. They look like they're permanent, as well as the spike protein that's produced after them. This is very disturbing. So it's hard to guide. I was saying, you know, 30 days refrain from kissing and sexual contact with a vaccinated person, but I'm now extending that to at least 90 days and conservatively maybe extend it from a point forward. I know there's married couples and all kinds of personal implications there, But no, this messenger RNA looks like it's for keep. Every shot is accumulating in the body with no ability for the body to get rid of it.
To remove it.
The vaccines, because they stay in the body so long, it looks like they do permanently install into the human genome through what's called reverse transcription. So this is disturbing. That not only does the vaccines not get out of the body, but now they're changing the human genome. This was shown in a human hepatoma cell line. And so it's conceivable that two vaccines...
Yeah. I'm going to compare this again because I don't want to talk about this stuff. I want it behind us. They should have stopped this program. They should have immediately decided to hold anybody accountable who ignored all of the safety signals. Now, there's a lot of people out there who refuse to look at them. I don't think they should get a pass. I wouldn't seek medical care from anybody who refuses to actually look at the data around these shots, and that's most everybody at the CDC and the FDA. But I've compared this to there being a sniper on the side of I-55. And if they were, they don't shoot everybody, but every day they pick off a couple of drivers going down there. I mean, how long before that story just disappears? The sniper's still there. They're still occasionally killing somebody who's driving down I-55 just trying to go to work or to go on vacation or what, they're just minding their own business driving down the road. The sniper takes a couple more people out. I would imagine that would be a story until the sniper was caught, until they were prosecuted. But we're seeing with this SHOT program, people are being hurt every day by these things. So it's very difficult for me to move on past that, like, this is an old story, we've already talked about it enough, you guys at WIAB, you're talking about the SHOT way too much, get on to some of the sexier political theater stuff, didn't you hear what Elon Musk did? There's other important things going on in the world, there's no doubt about it, but I don't know there's anything as important as this. What is this going to be like if it's getting into your... What are our children's children going to look like? What's their health going to be look like? We have no earthly idea. None. And anybody who tells you they're going to be fine, there's no cause for concern, they're being disingenuous. They're lying to you. They don't know. They have no earthly idea. They're crossing their fingers and hoping for the best. So this is still a huge story. The people who have put this upon us have still gotten away with it and really gotten wealthy off of it while the people continue to suffer. If you're around somebody with a recent booster shot, I hope you take Dr. Peter McCullough's warning.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.